So today's presentation is called Believe On. What I did is I went and found what does the Bible say that we should believe on? Like, what does it call us to believe on? So we're going to go through this study together, and there's lots of scripture. So I'm going to read through my notes, a lot of scripture really quickly. But we're also going to hopefully come to a pretty clear understanding of what the Bible does say and what the Bible doesn't say about what we should believe on. Anyways, let's spend a little time in prayer asking God's blessings for this meeting, and then we will go right into the scripture. So if you'd like to bow your heads with me, I'd appreciate it. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving us this time. I pray that you would bless us that we can understand what it is that you've called us to believe on. We thank you for the truths of your word. We ask that you would lead and guide us, that in all things we would be able to be directed by your spirit and could come to represent you more fully. For you've said that we are not to hide our works before men so that they can glorify you, our Father, which is in heaven. So we pray that you bless and lead us. Help us to be able to understand as we are together in this meeting. And we thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. My screen is shared, and you can see the title, Believe On. Now, John chapter 1, verse 12. These are all in the New Testament. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Whose name? Well, this is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that we're to believe on. Notice it says in John 6:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Right? So we're to believe on the Son of God. Now, I don't know that God has ever called anybody to believe on Jesus, the Son, as a metaphor, an analogy, a symbol, a type of anything. We've been called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's what the Bible teaches. So we're going to go back and see what it says. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is God's work, that you believe on him who he hath sent, which is his Son. John 7:39, This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Believe on who? Believe on Christ. For the Holy Ghost was not yet, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You can see there that the word given has been crossed out. The reason being is, the word given is supplied. If you go to the King James Version or any literal translation, you'll see that that word should be either italicized or marked somehow, because that word wasn't there. So, the Holy Ghost was not yet. But what does it say before the Holy Ghost was given? We were supposed to believe on him. Okay? So this spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him, Jesus Christ, should receive. We're going to receive the Spirit because we've believed on him, because the Holy Ghost was not yet. That is a very important verse. We need to understand that. And so far, all the verses have called us to believe on him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 9, 35 through 36. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, so Jesus went looking for this guy, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Wait a minute. Who's speaking? It's Jesus. Jesus is speaking of himself in the grammatical third person. So he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And of course, Jesus then said very clearly to this blind man, I am he that speaks with you. It is he that speaks with you. You know. So Jesus revealed himself as the one that should be believed on. As the Son of God, he said, he called himself in the grammatical third person, the Son of God. And many times, if you look up the phrase Son of Man, you can see that he called himself the Son of Man also in the grammatical third person. So here we're going to continue looking here into the verses. John 11, 48, If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. This is the leaders of the church, and they're speaking of Jesus Christ and those that believe on him. And it says, the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. Okay, so the Jews were saying that all the world, all men, will believe on him. They were concerned about that. Kind of like today, there's some leaders in our church that are concerned on the fact, or about the fact, that people are believing on the Son of God. I was just called the other day by one of the first elders of a church, and he explained to me that he's been for about 3 years listening to some of the videos that I've posted up, and he really appreciates what's being said. And then he mentioned that the church pastor wanted to meet with him. So in this interaction, he was saying, hey, would you pray with me? In just a few minutes, I'm going to be meeting with the pastor. And so we were texting back and forth. Afterwards, he said, oh, well, you know what? It's not going to be good because it sounds like the pastor's calling for a meeting and we're going to be cast out of the synagogue. Well, the whole reason why this man is being cast out of the synagogue is because he believes in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so just like the Pharisees of old, it's the same thing that's happening now. The church leaders are concerned. They're actually concerned that people will believe in Jesus as the Son of God. It's amazing to me the more I realize and interact with people about it. So it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. This is Jesus Christ in John 17, the unity prayer. And he's saying, I want to pray for these people that they will believe on me through their word. So I'm praying for my disciples. Why is he praying in this unity prayer? So that people would believe on him. Okay, not believing on somebody else. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So we've already seen through the Gospels that every single time so far that the phrase believe on is used in the New Testament, it's referring to believing on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Now, we've just gone into the book of Acts, and we realize that we've been called as well there to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's continue on here. That was, of course, when they were in a prison, and the man was ready to kill himself. But no. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saved from killing himself, and his house was saved as well. You can read that later. Acts 19, verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him, Jesus, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So it actually clarifies there. Paul, a prophet, was teaching about John, a prophet, that he was telling people to believe on him, Jesus, a prophet and the Son of God, which would come after him as a prophet. And so we've got lots of prophets kind of agreeing together that we are to believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Romans 4:24. For us also, to whom it shall be imputed, which is righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Oh, wait a minute. So now this is the first time we have seen a differentiation in the appeals of what we are to believe on. We've been appealed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but now all of a sudden, we see that we are to believe on him that raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, which would be the Father. I just presented not long ago this idea of being raised. I've presented it, and it's online now, as one of the messages of who raised Jesus Christ, or how was Jesus Christ raised. You go through the Bible, and you realize that every single time, almost rather, every single time the word raised is used in the New Testament, it is God the Father that raised our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're to believe on him that did that. And that's how we receive righteousness, right? That's how this righteousness is imputed to us, if we believe on the Father that raised up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:29, unto him it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Okay, so again, believe on him, which is Christ. Okay, that's what Paul was saying to the Philippians. Timothy was a young man. He was being encouraged in the faith. And this is what Paul was teaching him. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them, which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So, this again is another thing that Paul is teaching. Now, 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So now the Father is calling us. This is his commandment, just as Jesus had said earlier, that we should believe on the name of his Son, and we should love one another as he gave us commandment. So again, believing on the name of the Son. This is a simple gospel. It's not difficult. If we get this wrong, that God has a Son, we have completely believed on the wrong person. Okay, it's this metaphorical, false, analogous, spiritualistic, not real Son. Something that is a co-eternal, co-equal God that doesn't really exist. It's called idolatry. And as we were discussing before, one of the major problems in the church today, not just the church that we have been part of, but the world church, one of the major things that's causing their downfall and their lack of the spirit of truth is idolatry. And I think we need to understand that. I will be presenting on it in the future. I can tell the Lord has given me a sermon even in my head right now. So may the Lord speak as that is said. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Wait, John, you already said this in the same letter. Why are you saying it again? Because he's emphasizing it. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay, wait a minute. So you're saying it twice in one verse very emphatically? Yes. And this is at the end of his letter, by the way. He's really trying to stress this point. And so, now, notice a comment that I've made. This is my first comment in the writing here. Why are we never, even a single time, called on by God's Word to believe on the Holy Spirit? Okay, that's, we've seen so far the references of believe on. Not a single time have we been called to believe on the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the Spirit of the Son that God has sent. You can see that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so, believing on the Son of God, the one that John was saying would baptize us with the Holy Ghost in the future, that's the one that we're to believe on. We're not to believe on the Holy Ghost. The Bible's never called us to do that. And so some of our friends, the Pentecostals, have really stressed that point, but it's not something the Bible teaches. Now, I want you to see something here. It does, while referring to Christ, Paul wrote, "In whom ye also trusted," which is Christ, "after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that, you believed." On who? Christ. "You were then sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." John the Baptist, in preparation for the coming of Messiah, Jesus Christ, had a specific message. Notice what he said. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he," that's Christ, "that comes after me is mightier than I." Remember, he's the mighty God, according to Isaiah 9, verse 6. He's mightier than I. He doesn't call him almighty. He doesn't say he is almighty God. He didn't say that. John the Baptist never called him almighty God. Neither did any of the prophets. "Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with" what? "The Holy Ghost." Wait a minute. Who's going to do that? Christ. He, Christ, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, wait a minute. So it's similar in Luke 3:16, but when you get to Matthew 28, verse 19, that we're to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What did John just say? John just said right here, he said that he, Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So who do we come to be baptized with the Holy Ghost? We come to Jesus, right? So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but who are we appealing to be baptized for the Holy Ghost? It's Jesus Christ. That's what John said. So we need to understand this clearly. We need to understand that the Father and the Son is a family. And the Son is the one that baptizes us into that family. So we are baptized in the name of the Son into the family of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, because the Son baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. There's a mixture there that we must understand, because they got it right when they baptized in the name of Jesus in the book of Acts. But they also got it right when they heard Jesus say, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These verses can work together, and they should work together. I just dealt with that yesterday as I baptized two young ladies in Central California. It was amazing, beautiful, great experience. And so I think we should fully understand that it's not just in the name of Jesus. It's not just in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's in both, because it all works together. So part of the reason the Bible does not ask us to believe on the Spirit is found in the following texts. Here are every time the Greek word for the Comforter is used. It's the Parakletos. That's what it's called in the Greek. Each time the word is used, it is always used by the same author. It's John, John the Beloved. Notice the last time John penned the Greek word, and please find the name given to the Parakletos. So I'm going to find all of them. We're going to just notice quickly, because I've gone over this many times, and you can find it for yourself. The word comforter was written by John in 14. The word comforter again was written by John in 14. The word comforter was written by John in 15. The word comforter was written by John in chapter 16. Now, here is the very last time the word is going to be used. It's translated, for some reason, advocate. Now, what is the name of the advocate? My little children, these things write I unto you, that sin not, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have a comforter, a parakletos, an advocate with the Father. What is his name? His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. So here, the advocate is Jesus Christ. Here, the advocate is Jesus Christ. Here, the advocate is Jesus Christ. And here, the advocate is Jesus Christ, named by the same author in the very last time he used that word. It's Jesus Christ. So please, please, please know and understand that we have not been called to worship the Holy Spirit. We have not been called to believe on the name of the Holy Spirit, or, well, the name of the Holy Spirit really is Jesus Christ, but we've not been told to believe on the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, which the Father has sent into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so really, we're believing in Jesus Christ, and that's what we've been called to do. That's from whence the Holy Spirit comes. Now, it is the Spirit of the Father coming through the Son. We understand that as well, because all things are of the Father, and you can see that process as you study this concept in the Bible. So don't miss that part. But we certainly know and understand that we have been given a blessed time in the Bible, being called to believe in the name of the Son of God. So, Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God hath, that's the Father, hath sent forth the Spirit of who? His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we must understand this is the truth. We have been called to believe on the name of the Son of God, and he's the one that has that Spirit that has been sent. And so really, we've been called to believe on Christ. Now, so we've looked on every time so far the Bible teaches or uses the phrase, believe on, in the New Testament. And so it is clear. We have been called by the Bible to believe on Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at a next phrase, believeth on, okay? Believing on, now notice, the following verses contain every time the King James uses the phrase, believeth on. You know what? We have looked at every time the Bible uses the phrase, believe on. And it's only in the New Testament. And so what we're going to do then is find in the New Testament all the times the Bible uses the phrase, believeth on. And we're going to find that right here. So John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, believing on him, you are not condemned. Well, what part of him are you to believe on? That he is the only begotten Son. So, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God the Father abides on him. So again, we're called to believe on the Son. So two times so far, using this word believeth on. John 5:24, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, okay, that's the Father, you need to believe on him that sent me, hath eternal life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So it's clear to me we have been called to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've also been told to believe on him that sent Christ. And now we've been told that we're blessed if we believeth on him that sent Jesus Christ. So to me, you can believe on the Father, you can believe on the Son. Remember Jesus said in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God. What does it say? Believe also in me. So he knew that they believed in the Father. Now he's calling them to believe in the Son. So this is really important for us to understand as Christians today at the end of time. We need to be saved. We need to have everlasting life. And this is the appeal. Believe on the Father. Believe on the Son. Amen? All right. John 6:35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. So John 6:40, still in that same sermon, this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So this is the will of God the Father, that we believe on him, Jesus Christ. John 6:47, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Again, the focus is Jesus. The focus is the Father, not the Spirit. Very important. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, because out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that was just after the one we had read earlier about the Spirit, or just before, rather, where it says the Spirit is not yet, or has not yet been given. He's saying we need to believe on him, right? So John 12:44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but really on him that sent me. So amazing, because what we have here is Jesus saying, like, you're believing on me, but because you believe on me, really you're believing on the Father, because he's the one that sent me. We need to understand this. This concept is amazing. It's all about God the Father. We're to believe on the Son, but the reason why we're believing on the Son is because God the Father sent the Son. And so really, the entire gospel of the whole Bible is all about the Father. The Father sent the Son. God the Father was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ, and the works that he did, it was the Father that did those works. It's all about Christ. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's the whole reason why the gospel even exists, is because God the Father sent his Son. It's because God the Father wants us to be saved. I find it amazing. The more I study, the more it is clear to me the gospel is about God sending his Son. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness, but rather in the light. John 14:12, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. He knew where he was going. He knew whose family he was part of. And he knew that if you believe on him, you will have everlasting life. Now, it's clear in this verse that if we believe on the name of Jesus, we will do the same works that he does as well. Okay? That's really important, because it's not about just believing. We can't just have a mental assent to the fact that Jesus is there, that he loves us, that he cares, that his Father sent him. It's not about that. It's about the works that we do being the same works that he does as well. And so if our lives are out of concert with Jesus Christ, we do not believe on him, and we do not believe on his Father. We are just like the Pharisees. We say we believe, but we don't actually believe. We're just fooling ourselves and those that listen to us. So our works must be the same as Jesus Christ, or we are false teachers. And so we must repent of this nonsense, because it is leading people astray. That's John 14:12, a very important verse. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, wait a minute. We read something in Romans 4 last time, and it was believing on, if you believe on. So now we're talking about believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. Remember, last time it was God the Father, and in the same way, it's God the Father justifying us, the ungodly, through his Son. So I believe, again, this is referring to the Father. Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Sion, the Greek rendition of Hebrew Zion, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him, that's the Son, shall not be ashamed. And so Adam and Eve were ashamed in the garden, and we know that it was because they were naked. They didn't believe on the Son. They believed in themselves more. Romans 10, verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay, we need to believe on the Son. 1 Peter 2:6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And so we don't want to be confounded. We want to be blessed. And we're believing on him, that is, the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So if you believe on the Son of God, you're actually showing that God is true. Because God said it, God bare record. He actually gave the record with his own voice that he gave of his Son. But if you think that God sent his Son symbolically or metaphorically, if he doesn't even really have a son, then you're calling God a liar. That's what it says right here. This verse is very strong. We need to understand that God is appealing to us to believe him as one that doesn't lie. And if we do that, if we're willing, if we're able, then he will bless us. And I'm so thankful that he's given us that opportunity to believe. And so praise God that he's called us to do that. So far we have looked at every single time the Bible uses the phrase believeth on. Now we're not done yet because we're going to go to believe in. The following verses contain every time the King James Version uses the word believe in. And so what we're going to see here is 2 Kings 17 verse 14, our very first Old Testament reference. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. Now, whether the Lord their God here is the Son being worked by the Father, or the Father using the Son, either way, it doesn't matter. The whole point is that they were not believing in the Lord their God. And so in the Old Testament, it was just as important to believe in the Father and his Son as it was or is in the New Testament. So the gospel has always been the same. 2 Chronicles 20:20, another Old Testament reference. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And there's lots of his prophets that have talked about us believing in the Son of God, the name of the Son of God, and him that sent the Son of God. And so it's very important. Those were the only two Old Testament references. So here it is. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. So believing in Christ is where you're going to be saved instead of drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, one of the condemnations, by the way, I'm going to find it for you. One of the condemnations in Revelation 18, I think it's in verse 21, a mighty angel took up a great millstone and cast it into the sea and said, "Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." Wait a minute. So a great millstone is thrown into the sea? Why? Well, according to the Bible here, whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, if there's any offense toward these little ones that believe in Christ, what is the punishment? That a millstone would be hanged around their neck and they're drowned in the water. Just like it says here in Revelation 18, there is a millstone that's thrown into the water. So one of the condemnations is that we would not encourage people to believe in Christ, whether they be little ones or other. And so believe on, believeth on, believe in. It is very clear we have been called to teach people that they're to believe in Jesus Christ. And never a single time does the Bible ever call it metaphorical or symbolic, analogous, a symbol, or anything like that. So I keep ranting on this, but it's very clear in the Bible. So I must keep shouting about it. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, Mark says in chapter 9:42, that believes on me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea, just like Babylon. Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow him that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Okay, believe in what? They're doing it in his name. So obviously, they believe in him, his name. So this is the same idea, though it's not said the same way. Okay, they will cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Oh, one time it's negative. They didn't believe in him. So we have here in John 7 that the brothers of Christ, his brethren, didn't believe in him. So he had a tough time at home, I'm sure. John 12:36, while ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and he did hide himself from them. So now, it's saying that we're to believe in the light. Now, so I have lights shining on me right here. You can see the blue light shining on the wall, and there's a light here shining on my face, a light here, and a light above. So, and there's even a light back there. So my question is, am I to believe in these lights? Is that what it's saying? Or is that a symbol? It's clearly a symbol. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In fact, I'll even bring it up for you so that we can know and understand that that's what the Bible's teaching. Let's see here. I'm going to search that phrase, I am the light. And it's in John 8, verse 12, and on John 9, verse 5. I am the light of the world, it says. I am the light of the world. Jesus two times said that phrase. And so, no, we're not calling on or being called on to believe on just light. We're to believe on spiritual light, which Christ gives us. Christ is the light. And his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus is the word, according to John 1:14. You can put all these things together, and it is really God the Father using his Son to minister his Spirit. And he does it in various ways. One of those ways is his word, which we just talked about now. So we can see that in the Bible, it continues on to say, John 14, verse 1, as I quoted earlier, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God the Father, believe also in me, right? So Romans 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? So we're to confess with our mouth the Lord, but believe in our heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, and that's part of how we are saved. That's what is transforming. In fact, yesterday, as those two young people, 20 and 17 years old, almost 20, she said she was 19, so 19 and 20 years old, they confessed that when they studied the Father and the Son, their hearts were changed, their lives were changed. They actually received a love of the truth, and they want to share. One of those young ladies has already shared some of the studies. Her name is Christina, and she has also preached one time at our home, and I recorded it and posted it up. It's called something like, something about love. I don't remember the exact title, but you can ask about it, and I'll send you the link for those studies. But they want to share. When they learned about the Father, they want to teach. They want to express what they know and what they understand because their life has been changed. And so that's what's being said here in this verse. This is actually talking about when preachers are sent, if you find the context. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Son and the Father. And that's the message that really changes your life. It gives you an inspiration. Like, I'll tell you, I have always believed with my heart that the Bible is true. And I've always wanted to share. And I've always wanted to share a lot. I want to share with a lot of people. But when I learned about the Father and the Son, I have been given a courage that I have not had before. I've been courageous and I've said some things that were pretty strong in the past. But now, like, I'll go up to almost anybody and talk to them. I'll bring up the Trinity. I'll bring up the Father, the Son. I'll bring up, you know, the Spirit and the ministration of the angels. I'll refer to these things in a way that I never would have before because God has given me a passion when I started studying the Father and the Son. And I really appreciate it. I've been thankful that I have more of a courageous spirit because, frankly, I would rather say too much than too little. And if I say too much, hey, that's my fault. I'll take that responsibility. Now, you have to be tactful. You can't just come up and start preaching that somebody has the mark of the beast because they're not worshiping on the right day. You know, that's not the gospel. That's not how we're supposed to share. We should be tactful. We should be wise. But I have found that the Lord has given me the ability not to offend, it seems, it at least in the conversation, while speaking with many people in lots of different contexts about the Father and his Son. And so, which is the gospel. We've learned about that today. And so I encourage you all to continue sharing, being bold for the Lord. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him, that's Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him, that's Jesus, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's what I was saying. In this context, it's actually referring to the preacher being sent. And so that's why those young ladies referring to their hearts being changed yesterday was such a blessing to my heart, because I know, I understand what that means. Romans 15:31, that I may be delivered from him that do not believe in Judea. So, why? Because those that don't believe, in will kill us. That's what they were trying to do with Paul. They were trying to kill him. And so he was praising God and saying, Lord, I don't want to be delivered from or into the hands of those that do not believe, because they're going to kill him, that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. So he's going to Jerusalem. He knows he's going to be killed. You can see that in Acts chapter 20. But he wants to go there because the saints are there. There's still some people that believe. But the leadership are the ones that are causing so much trouble in the Old Testament, and today in the same way in the New Testament. There are very few leaders, very few. And I know because I'm a leader. I've talked to presidents of the conference. I've talked to pastors. I've talked to evangelists. I've talked to leaders. I've talked to world travelers. I've talked to lots of leaders around the world. And let me tell you, they do not want to believe in the name of the Son of God or in the name of God the Father that has a Son. They want it to be a co-eternal, co-equal, Trinitarian, always existing Father, Son, and Spirit. Three co-eternal beings or three beings in one, either you're Trinitarian or tritheistic, whichever. That's what they want. But they cannot show it from the Bible. And I'm telling you, it is idolatry. So we need to continue to share with those that are willing to listen, especially the followers of the leaders, not necessarily the leaders themselves, though if you have an opportunity, please share with them because they could potentially come to understand as well. Though the followers, like in the Bible, during the time of Christ, are more willing to listen to Christ, even then, so it is today. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 1:7, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So let's ask Paul, what are they supposed to believe in? Well, we've already read it 100 times. They're to believe in the name of the Son of God or in the Father. 1 Peter 1:21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead. Okay, Peter, who are you supposed to believe in? You're supposed to believe in God that raised up Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. I love this verse because God gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. And also, if you look, by the way, in John 17, verse 22, it says that the same glory that God has given to the Son has given to his disciples. That's you. That's me. Praise the Lord. It's amazing. So we've already looked at every time the word believe in is used, and that's the first time we saw two in the Old Testament. Now let's find believeth in. The following verses contain every time the King James Version uses the phrase believeth in. Not in the Old Testament. So far there's only two verses in the entire Bible that use believeth. I think it's believeth in, in the Old Testament. Everything else, believe in, believe on, believeth in, is all in the New Testament. It's amazing. So here we have this idea in John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believeth in who? The very next verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we're to believe in the Son. There it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God the Father is the one that loved the world, that he gave his, possessive, his only begotten Son. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, that's Jesus, though he were dead, yet shall he live. 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's dying the second death, by the way. That's an easy way to understand that, clarifies the whole thing. And by the way, just to say it again so that people will be challenged if you haven't studied this already, Jesus did not die the second death. You can study it for yourself. In fact, just look up in the Bible the phrase second death. And ask yourself the question, can Christ fit into any of these verses that actually use that phrase? The answer is 100% no. So it's interesting to study that and understand in light of the sanctuary, especially. Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him, that's Christ, shall receive the remission of sins. Okay? Romans 3:26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that ye might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So it seems like almost 100% of the time, not quite, but almost every single time, believeth on, believeth in, It's referring to believing in either the Father or the Son. Not a single time the Spirit yet. Every single time, without fail, we are called to believe on the Father and His Son. To believe on the Son demands that you believe He has a Father. And, of course, to believe in a Father demands you also He has a Son. Why have we been brought to believe on more than what the Bible has called us to believe? And that is the end of our study. So you have seen every single time that we are to believe on, believeth on, believe in, believeth in, and I think that was it. But the whole point is that we are to believe on. Amen? So that's the cry for today. Believe on. Believe on what? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, but keep believing on. Believe on. That's the appeal. And I want you to know that God the Father loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son. Do you know what that means? It means He had a Son, and He actually sent Him so that you would be saved. That's incredible. The more I study, the more I learn, the more simple it becomes. God has a Son, and He sent that Son. And I want that to be the gospel that I preach. I want that to be the underlying message of everything I teach. I want to be able to understand the truth as it is in Jesus. What about you? Let's pray real quick, and then if there are any comments or questions, I will take them. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for giving us this opportunity to be with each other digitally. Thank You that others from various countries have come, but also from here in the mainland. I ask that You would lead and guide that we can be blessed and we can continue to understand the simplicity of the gospel. I ask that You would lead us, that You would call us higher and holier, and help us to have tongues to speak the basic words of the gospel. I ask that You would lead that we can share with those that are willing to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Thank You for giving us this opportunity, and we pray that You bless us as we continue to fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.